Namaskar and welcome to DharmaCast. I'm Dada Veda Pragyananda, and for this episode of DharmaCast, we're going to look at the topic, what is Bhakti Yoga? So I want to explain what it is, but if I have to explain it just in three words and then end the podcast, I will just say Bhakti Yoga is the yoga of love. But I want to go into more depth about it. First of all, Bhakti Yoga is not a particular religion or cult or sect or denomination. It is a wide topic which transcends any kind of denominational boundary, because really it is the love of God. That's what Bhakti Yoga is all about. I want to explain it also in context of some of the Sanskrit words which define it. So in Sanskrit, there is one word which is called asakti, and that means attraction to finite objects. So this is a very necessary or important part of our life, that we are attracted towards the various objects of the world, or else if we didn't have that, we would be disinterested and we couldn't exist. But alongside that attraction to the objects of the world, there is another urge deep within all human beings, and it's really the urge which defines us, what is a human being, is that we have an attraction towards the great, an attraction towards the supreme consciousness, the supreme soul, or some people call it God, whatever you call it, but it's the supreme. So this attraction towards the supreme is bhakti, and the method of following bhakti, or to use it to become one with the Supreme One, to become one with God, is bhakti yoga. But and you'll find this bhakti yoga in all religions of the world, all everywhere where there is a spiritual path. But there are different kinds of bhakti, and not all bhakti is the same. So let's look at some of the kinds of bhakti. And here I'm following a pattern of description which was taught to me by my guru, Sri Sri Anandamurti. I didn't make this up. So what he says is that there are some grades of bhakti which we can look at. The first kind is where people pray and their prayer is not particularly a good one. They will pray, "O Lord, such and such person over there is causing me trouble. Please strike him." In the old days, they would say, "Smite him," but knock him down, kill him, eliminate him. So this is a very negative kind of bhakti. And in fact, if we look at the life of, there was a great Tibetan saint named Milarepa, when he first began his path, I don't know if I'd call it spiritual, but when he began his path, he was using his spiritual strength or his extra intellectual strength to cause harm to others. So this is what my teacher Anandamurti says is tamasic or static bhakti. So you're praying to God for something which is very evil or negative, as you want to harm people. So this is one form. There are people who pray to God and they ask this kind of request. And then there's another category which is a step higher. And in this category, a person prays to God or addresses God, but doesn't ask for anything harmful to anybody. But he says, "O Lord, I need," then you fill in the blank, you know, "I need a new car, I need a new television set, I need a new phone, or I need a new anything," but it's a physical object. So the person is praying to get physical wealth or physical objects. So it's not bhakti at all. It's just like I said before, when someone has attraction towards the objects of the world, that's not really bhakti. But that's it. But in this sense, at least, the person is acknowledging there is a higher being, so we would call it a kind of bhakti. And but here, it's not negative, it's not harmful, but it's not longing for really for God. You're longing for the world. So this kind of bhakti, we call it rajasic or mutative. So it's the second step. And then we come to another kind of prayer that exists in this world. And here, people don't pray to harm anyone. They don't pray to acquire something. But when they reach a stage of their life where they're feeling physically frail or weak, and then they just say, "Oh Lord, deliver me. Just give me liberation from this trouble of the world. I can no longer enjoy the world like I used to. So just give me liberation. Just liberate me from, relieve me," actually is really what they're seeking, relief. "Relieve me from the burdens of the world, oh Lord." So what is the common element of these three, and this is called sentient or sattvic bhakti. So what is the common denominator of these three, which I've outlined just now, is that the devotee, the aspirant, is not really longing for God. There are different things that they're longing for, whether it be to hurt somebody, or whether it be to acquire something, or whether it be just to get the relief of the world from the world. So here, they're not trying to reach God. That's the thing. So if you don't strive for God, you won't get him. That's the idea, and that's the limitation of these three kinds of devotion. So there's other kinds, and in one of the other kinds, the person is saying, "No, I don't want anything. Just by addressing you, by longing for you, by thinking of you, it gives me pleasure. I get pleasure just by thinking of you, by worshiping you. I get pleasure." So this is called, in Sanskrit, Raganuga Bhakti. So it is a step above the other three, because what we say, it's non-attributional. There's no attribute that we're seeking. We're not seeking to hurt. We're not seeking to acquire. We're not seeking any special state. We say, "No, I just want to love you because that gives me pleasure." So it's a step above the other three, which we started with. But there's another kind of bhakti, and this is the higher stage, the highest one. And in this stage, the devotee is saying, "I love you because I want to give you pleasure. I want to serve you. I'm not in it for anything for me, but I want to give you pleasure." So this is the highest stage of bhakti. And this is the stage where the yogi is not trying to get something, but wants to give something. So this is really an interesting concept. Of course, most people, me included, we begin yoga, we want to get something. It could be physically, sometimes people want to overcome a physical weakness or disease, or just lose weight, look better, feel better. Or it could be a mental thing. We want to improve our memory, improve our mental capacity. So we want to get that thing. Or it can be, I want to feel some bliss. You know, I want to get blissed out. So all of us have begun the spiritual path like that. So there's nothing to be ashamed of. But when we reach the stage when we want to give, and we want to, and to give that supreme entity pleasure, "I do my meditation because it gives you pleasure." So that's why one time my teacher once explained, he summarized bhakti in a very short sentence. He said, "The vow to please, the supreme consciousness is bhakti. The true devotion is the vow, when you take the vow to please, I want to please that supreme entity. That is bhakti. Now, bhakti is very important in the process of yoga and meditation. Why? Because when in the spiritual meditation that I teach and the teachers of Ananda Marga teach, the idea is we want to become one with God. So we have to put all our attention to that supreme entity. And that's what's done with mantra, and there are different kinds of withdrawal techniques. All kinds of techniques are there. But those techniques are difficult. They're difficult to do because we're attracted to the world. So that's why my teacher once said, when devotion has been aroused, the work is done. The work is done. It becomes easy because when you really have that devotion in its highest sense, you really, I'm there, I really want to please Paramapurusha. I want to please that supreme entity. I want to become one with that supreme entity, and it's a fervent desire, then you will overcome the different obstacles which make the meditation or your practice hard. So this is really what we want to get, that stage, because when our desire is one, and our goal is one, and our urge is one, then nothing can stop us. So this is why bhakti is so, so important. At least it's important for those yogis who want to get the ultimate state of the human condition, which is merger with the source of everything. So this is bhakti yoga. Now, there's a question that also comes. How do I get it? How do I get this bhakti? So here, this is a little bit of a knot, you know, how do I get it? Because sometimes you don't feel it. When you first begin on the yogic path, you may not have that feeling. So what I say is just practice according to your current desire, but keep that in mind that I must get it. And one of the analogies which also my teacher made, I didn't make this up, he said, you know, there is a shower of grace, the grace of God is falling on everybody. But suppose you go out in the rain with an umbrella, will you feel that rain? Not much, maybe a few drops might get under the umbrella, but you're not going to feel much. But you have to throw away the umbrella. So what is the umbrella? The umbrella is your ego. So when we can lower that umbrella of the ego, then we will feel that bliss, and we'll feel the grace. And when we feel it, then we will want it more and more. So one of the keys of the practice of bhakti yoga is to, we have to do what we can to lower that ego umbrella. And then there's one more thing you can do. You know, prayer, when we pray, like we pray for a finite object, oh God, give me this, give me success on my exam, make my football team or baseball team win. You know, when we ask for these kind of things, it's not going to go very far. It's not a very good utilization of your time, and the Supreme One can't really answer these kind of prayers. But when you say, oh Lord, give me more bhakti, give me that love, give me that love for you, let me feel it, that's a good prayer. You can ask for that. So this is bhakti yoga in a short nutshell. It's gone on 15 minutes now. So think about it and try to arouse that desire for the Supreme. And when that desire for the Supreme is aroused, then you will get success in yoga, definitely. But you'll get not only the success in mundane kind of yoga where we want just to improve our physical and mental condition, but you will get the ultimate success which a human is capable of doing. So think about this and practice it and enjoy that supreme bliss. So thank you for listening, and we'll be back again with more episodes. And I say namaskar, which means I salute the consciousness, the divinity within you, with all the divine charms of my mind and all the cordiality of my heart. So thank you, and I hope to be with you again soon.